Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
A very warm welcome to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hey, man.
Vin, you've had a busy week.
I don't know why I did that. Hey, man.
What song was that? Who did that? Was David Bowie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you that, yeah.
Maybe you're turning into David Bowie.
Okay, yeah, I'm happier now.
It's been a busy week. Lots of rock and roll shenanigans, a lot of award ceremonies to talk about in the podcast today.
You've been to all the shindigs.
I have been to all the shindigs, and I've been on morning television, which is a bit of a Radio X clash, really. Holly and Phil and Radio X, it's a bit different, isn't it? Different audience.
I'm a big fan, though.
You are, aren't you?
Phil really intrigues me.
You know what? Massive.
I imagine he's quite naughty.
Massive whiskey drinker.
Yeah.
Loves his wine and tequila.
Wow.
He actually always swears that you should drink tequila because it doesn't give you a hangover.
I thought you were just going to say he always swears.
Drink responsibly as well. He does. He's a character. He's a character. He's also still a brilliant singer. Did you know that?
Still?
He was in Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat many moons ago. Yeah. Yeah.
My mind has been blown about all these Schofield facts.
And here's another one for you. He introduced the first ever episode of Neighbours on British TV.
Why was it introduced?
Because it was a new Australian soap.
What, so they had to have someone say, it's a TV show?
He was doing kids' TV at the time, and he said, right, there was like a link, you know, a handover, sort of a continuity announcer's link, and the step was always from kids' TV in the broom cupboard, my generation, to the 5:30 to 6:00 slot before the news came on.
Oh, wow.
So Phil said, right, here's the new soap for us. This could be quite interesting.
This guy is amazing. We should get him on the show.
And can I tell you, that's been 30 years of that, and he was the first person to do it. There you are.
Mind blown.
And he was also at the Brits, where Sam Fox and Mick Fleetwood made a pig's ear of it.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. So, also, Vin, this week, Monday night, we had a classic album chat about one of my favourite albums, which is often overlooked, The Second Coming by the Stone Roses, which gave us the biggest response we've ever had to one of our classic album
chats.
I'm
thinking, I haven't quite decided yet, but you might have changed my mind about it.
You've been listening to The Fozz a lot this week.
No, I can't stand that. And you'll hear that on the podcast.
You will hear that.
That is terrible, that bit of music. But what an amazing album. And Begging, I think that's what's changed my mind.
You.
I mean, that is...
It's a beautiful song, isn't it? I like 10 Story Love Song and all the campfire
stuff. I still think 10 Story is a bit sort of cliche, isn't it? It's
That's what I like.
But Love Spread's the best thing they've ever done.
It's a brilliant album. John Squire at his very best.
Yeah.
And also,
it all sort of flows into each other as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, the campfire chat was quite interesting too. So I hope you really enjoy that. Please enjoy the Evening Show podcast, and we'll have another one for you next week.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This year is shaping up to belong to Arctic Monkeys. Festival dates are beginning to filter out, including Transmit in Glasgow in the summer, which will be incredible. But something extra special could be on the cards in their hometown of Sheffield. So Sheffield City Council issued a music licensing notice just this week for 4 days at the home of Sheffield Wednesday Football Club, Hillsborough. Now, the notice has details of an application from concert giants SJM for 4 dates during the month of September, during the hours of 4 till 10:30. What could go on between those hours? It also mentions the sale of alcohol and the provision of live and recorded music. Now, let me present some helpful facts. SJM were the firm responsible for all the Stone Roses gigs. They put on all the Oasis shows back in the day, and they also promoted huge Take That Stadium shows. So, they know a little bit about bands from the north and putting on massive gigs. Now, all four members of Arctic Monkeys, and especially guitarist Cookie, who's a decent player himself, support their hometown club, Sheffield Wednesday. So, Arctic's fans, best keep some holiday back for September, eh? 4 nights then? That could be really, really special. My prediction is 2 nights, they'll do a Saturday and a Sunday, then it'll sell out, announce a Friday, and why not stick a Thursday in there as well? Let's see what happens, eh? And by the way, huge apologies if the Human League are making a surprise comeback, or if Def Leppard or Heaven 17 are planning to do something too. Don't want to get your hopes up for nothing, as good as those gigs would be.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Already getting a lot of messages about this one tonight, and it's one I've been looking forward to. I've been trying to get this on for the last 18 months onto the Evening Show because it's an album that I love dearly. The second album released by the Stone Roses, Second Coming, from the 5th of December 1994. For the mathematicians amongst you, that's 23 years ago. Of course, it was the follow-up to the incredible debut, number 4 in the UK. It's since gone platinum in the UK. Get on this, it's sold over 1 million copies worldwide, which is absolutely no mean feat for any band. How about these songs as well? Love Spreads, 10-story love song, Begging You and Breaking Into Heaven. Great, great tracks. It was hugely anticipated. 5.5 years after the first record, the band hadn't played live for over 4 years at that point, so there was a real hunger for more Stone Roses. At that point in my life, I was 14 years old and lived my life in music by reading things like Select magazine, and every edition had another rumour about what was going wrong with the album, stories of bad behaviour in the countryside and why it was delayed and delayed and delayed, and people just couldn't wait for it, and I was one of them. Unsurprisingly, it didn't quite live up to the expectation with a lot of fans because of the long wait, but I think it's absolutely brilliant. The music scene had changed a lot in the time in between, right? So Britpop by that point was in full swing, and that sort of Manchester baggy scene was just slightly on the decline. Lots and lots of funk and jazz inspiration in there, plenty of experimentation, tribal rhythms. And I think one of the biggest talking points, of course, was the 70s-style guitar riffs, blues elements, and, of course, the campfire-style songs. So Your Style Will Shine and Tightrope, which I love. And that's because they were sitting in the fields listening to music and singing around a campfire. Recorded all over the country, but most famously at Rockfield Studios in Wales, where I think just as much bad behaviour happened as music was written. The rural setting, though, definitely had a big inspiration in all of those songs. Dig down, you can still find plenty of the psychedelia, though. John Squire really let himself loose in this album. He designed the collage, of course, sang vocals in Tightrope, showed off his incredible, incredible guitar chops. If the Stone Roses was a drumming masterclass from Rennie on the first album, Second Coming was all about Squire's guitar. Now, producer Vin said a great thing about this. Love Spreads is the greatest thing the Stone Roses ever did, he reckons. Manchester's take on Hendrix's Voodoo Child. I see what he's saying about that. The last single was Begging You. What a song. The last single the band released before their split in 96. Drum beats, pulsing bass, soaring guitars and apocalyptic lyrics. The band took inspiration from Public Enemy, which I didn't know until today. John Squire designed that Begging You cover as well, with the insides of floppy disks. And I don't know if you know this story or not, but I thought this was great. So he was given all this hardware, discs to teach him how he could use samplers and sequencers and all the technology at that point to help him make incredible, innovative music. But what did he do? He broke them open and created some art. That is so John Squire, isn't it? But I think this album's phenomenal. I love it. Listen to it all the time. Wherever I go, it always comes back up. Please enjoy this. Two songs back to back from the classic album, The Second Coming. Here we go. 10-story love song followed by the epic Love Spreads.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week. X. Radio
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Yeah, and she's alright, yeah, she's my sister.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Classic album of the week, The Stone Roses, The Second Coming, and that is being loved this evening by all of the Radio X regulars. Thank you very much for all the messages. Jack Jenkins, way underrated, just a couple of songs short of all killer, no filler status. Belter, couldn't agree more. Chris Bowie as well. Class album, love Tightrope, especially the live version on Crimson Tonight. Zepsis as well. Second Coming is an all-time classic album, not underrated at all. Well, not by me anyway, I'm in the same club as that. Connor, classic album chat on Radio X, The Stone Roses, Second Coming. Educate yourself. Hopefully we played a little part in that. John Dixon loving it as well. Ravely says, a masterpiece. Mark Hatherley, classic. Rich Clark as well, How Do You Sleep is my favourite. Lots of people loving that, including Richie Pascoe. Thank you very much for all those messages. That was great. Love Spreads, right? Number 2 in the UK. The best performing single the Stone Roses ever released. John Squire, of course, designed the Love Spreads cover. Photograph of one of the 4 stone cherubs on the Newport Bridge in Newport. Worked out pretty well for the merchandising as well, and lots of t-shirts I've seen over the years, just like the Lemons. Bobby Gillespie of Primo Scream hailed the song as the greatest comeback single ever. Big claim, but he's not wrong. I don't think it's a cracker. The band re-recorded the song for War Child's Help album a year later in 1995. Before Love Spreads, I played you 10-story love song. Second single was written entirely by John Squire. Did you know Rennie never showed up for the video shoot? So he was replaced by a man wearing a Rennie mask. In fact, Ian Brown as well, he didn't show up for the first day of the shoot. So you remember that scene which was added, Squire and Manny watching a video of Ian and Rennie checking their watches. Now, one thing you've got to mention when you talk about this album, for our younger listeners, this might sound slightly odd, but CDs used to have hidden tracks. Sound like an old man saying that, but hidden track, right? After Love Spreads, 77 silent tracks I can remember all of them. Right? Each track was lasting 4 seconds, followed by an untitled hidden track, most often referred to as the Foz. So this is, in turn, followed by another 9 silent tracks, bringing the total number of tracks to 99, right? It's been pretty divisive over the years, winds a lot of people up. So imagine, right, you are listening to this album, it's really late at night, might have been the last thing you put on, the silence, things are calming down, and then all of a sudden, just as you're getting used to the silence, suddenly, out of the blue, comes this. Oh, man. Horrible noise, isn't it? But the album doesn't seem the same to me if that wasn't on it. It is a part of the second coming, isn't it? Ah. When I was a teenager, I used to go to bed every night listening to music. That was a bad album to choose. About an hour later when that racket comes on. What a brilliant album. And it was dedicated to Philip Paul, the band's publicist, who died of cancer, sadly, in 1993, which was a really lovely touch of the band. Classic album, How Was That Tonight? The Second Coming. We are always open to your suggestions. Please get in touch, 83936.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Feeling a little bit fragile today, Joe. It's been a long, long week.
It has, hasn't it? You said earlier that you didn't get to bed before 3 a.m. on, was it 3 occasions?
Yeah, 3 occasions. I think Wednesday night into Thursday, so Brits went out after the show, which was great fun. Sunday night was the BAFTAs, so that was a late night as well, very late night. And then I've dipped my toe in the water of morning television again.
I know you have, because I text you and I said, I don't tend to watch this morning. It doesn't tend to be something that I'm, you know, even at home to watch or would make the effort to do so. But as I knew that our own Gordon Smart would be making an appearance on that sofa, I made the effort to tune in.
Bringing in new viewers, Joe.
You That's are, what we're doing. Aren't you?
But I've seen your Philip Schofield Loyalty Club membership line around the office. So don't give me that jive.
Well, producer Vin, who is usually of this parish, is he's right on the bandwagon to get Phil in. He wants Phil to come in for a chat.
You know what? He's a fascinating
interview guy.
Really
I'm
interesting
sure.
bloke. And it's amazing when you talk to him because he keeps bringing up, oh, I was there at that. Talking about the Brits in 1984, for instance. He was like, yeah, I did that. Did you know he was the first person to introduce Neighbours on British TV?
Do you know why I know that?
Why do you know that?
Because he told you that story on This Morning. And that is the kind of light-hearted morning
testing
entertainment
you.
That I will be tuning in for again.
I was testing you, Joe. I was testing you. So it all started off Sunday night. Every year, I'm really lucky I get to go to the BAFTAs, and it's a good old carry-on. Take the missus along. We have a really nice night together. This year, slightly let down in the babysitting front, so we were left with 2 children in a really lovely hotel, and my daughter wet the bed, which is perfect.
Brilliant.
I say my daughter wet the bed. It's quite a good excuse, isn't it?
It is. It's
quite a good cover, isn't
that
it?
Fit well, didn't
oh,
it?
Look what she's done again. Massive bladder. So we had a brilliant night. It was incredible. I had a good chat with Nicholas Holt, who was in Kill Your Friends,
yeah,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Brilliant to see him. And who else? Taron Egerton. There was a genuine music story I got out of him. He will be playing Elton John in the biopic of his life, directed by our friend here at Radio X, Dexter Fletcher. What a
wow.
film that'll be.
That's a scoop. They call that a scoop, don't they?
It was a lively night as well. Joanna Lumley hosted it. And then Wednesday night went along after the show to the Brits. I went to one party with your man, Jason Fox, who's been on the show from SAS Who Dares Wins.
Oh, yes. I saw a tweet about this.
Made a bit of a mistake.
Did you?
Well,
what happened?
There's an old pub trick that a lot of our listeners will know where you kind of set up an arm wrestle, but it's kind of a reverse arm wrestle, right? So rather than bending your arm to the side and touching a hand down, you get an overhand grip, so you're almost pulling towards your own face, if you know what I mean. Do you understand that, right?
Sort of, yeah, I can sort of see it.
And I'm giving him all these directions to say, right, I reckon I'm stronger than you. And of course, the bravado comes out of him. He's like, you're never stronger than me. I'm telling you, I can do it. So we set it up, so we've got the overhand grip, we're at the bar, lots of people watching. He's got a grip of my hand, I've got a grip of his hand, and said, on three, I'm going to pull your hand anyway. There's no way you're going to do it. And I just let go of his hand. He punched himself in the face.
Oh.
Which was funny when you're quite a few drinks down, but then the realisation hit me that he has spent 20 years, 10 of them in the Special Forces. Not a good idea.
No, he's not a man that I'd want to make cross.
Not a good idea on Brits Night to pick a fight like that. But I'm still here, I'm still talking, I am safe.
For now.
It's been a lively week, Joe. It's been great fun. But here's one man who was also at the Brits the other night, and he's been on the show recently, Mr. James Bay. New look, James Bay. What do you reckon, Joe? Because you once had an extreme haircut.
I did.
It caused controversy.
A few months ago. Nothing like James Bay. I had far less hair than James Bay was famous for. Yeah. I did a grade 2. But no, he's completely changed his look, hasn't he? No hat.
It's now affectionately known in the office, Joe, as your Britney Spears moment.
Yes, I know. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Talking about Glastonbury, Emily Evis was at the NME Awards on Wednesday night. It's obviously a fallow year this year for Glastonbury. So she was out on a night out without having to worry about work the next day. I say that, she's made quite a big commitment for the next Glastonbury, next summer. They are planning to try and go completely plastic bottle free. Now, for anybody who's been to Glastonbury or any festival, I have got no idea how they're going to try and do that, how they're going to enforce it. But fair play to them, obviously very environmentally friendly and conscious of those things. So yeah, brave move. But if they can do it, it'll be a big start for all the other festivals to fall into place, because it is not an easy thing to do. When it comes to the lineup, though, very interesting little comment from Emily Evis as well. There will be two or three that have never played Glastonbury. Now, Glastonbury traditionally famous for giving bands a chance very early on. So most of the people who headline at some stage have been on the bill somewhere around Worthy Farm. But this time, two or three, who could it be? Is it a Led Zepp? Is it a Fleetwood Mac? Or could it be a Kendrick Lamar? The guessing game has started. Read more about that at radiox.co.uk.
Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Class, isn't it? Heroes on Radio X. It's great to see David Bowie's legacies living on through his family as well. His filmmaker son, Duncan Jones, has credited his late dad for making his new film, Mute, darker than expected. Duncan's behind this Netflix sci-fi drama starring Sam Rockwell and Paul Rudd, and he's admitted that he's made a film that took inspiration from advice he received from his iconic old man. The film's set in Berlin, which could be a nod to Bowie in itself, and it's the story of a mute bartender searching for his missing lover and getting sucked into a brutal criminal underworld. So Bowie's son, Duncan Jones, told The Times, "Dad said put yourself a little bit deeper in the water than where you can reach the bottom with your toes. That's what I did with Mute. I made a film which was a little bit uncomfortable and unexpected and darker than people might be expecting. Was nervous making it, but nervous in a good way."
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
It's coming to the end of the evening show, which means it's story time. So get yourself comfortable. Producer Vin, let's have some appropriate music, please. How many moons ago, before I could get a job in newspapers or radio, I made a living as a football coach in London. So I used to work in and around Kingston, Epsom, Sutton and Croydon, that neck of the woods, sort of southeast London, Surrey, the London Borough of Sutton, all the glamorous places. So we used to have this office in Chessington near the World of Adventures, and I'd often find myself in the pubs and cafes in and around there. One day, this bloke in the pub heard I was really into my music, and he said that his mate worked for Rentokil, and he was in this great new band that were going to get signed. They were brilliant, they were the next big thing. So he handed me this CD and said, "Go off and have a listen to that." And it was in my car for ages. But this mate of his, right, it was an unbelievable story. His job was scooping up rat and mouse traps. That was his gig. But he was also a bass player. So he was in this band, and they had this song called Cash Machine that I listened to for ages in my car before anything ever happened to the band. And then a couple of years later, I went to see this gig. They just signed a big record deal. The bass player looked a little bit familiar. Didn't have his Rentokil outfit on, but he was Kai, the bass player in Hardfi. They signed a massive deal, and I've still got that demo of Cash Machine from something like 2002, 2003. I'll have to see what I can get for them on the old Hardfi fan phones. Might be worth a few quid by now, but there you go. Never chuck those CDs in the bin. Always keep them. You never know what's going to happen to them.
Radio.
Radio.
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thanks very much for listening to the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin.
Hey, man!
That's pretty good. Is that, you are very tuneful, Vin.
Thanks. I felt tuneful.
I will have another edition of the Evening Show podcast for you next week. Have a good week.
Radio X.